Hello, this is Reverend Irvin speaking. Greeting you on this week of April the 9th. And in a few minutes on this tape, you'll be hearing portions of the service of April the 9th. We're very happy to endeavor to share with you our fellowship on Sunday morning. And we're more happy that in this fashion you can be a part of our worshiping congregation and fellowship. We know that the days are sometimes long, especially where you may be limited in what you can do and your activity. And yet we know that the return of life to the earth, symbolized by spring, the newness of the grass and the trees, is an inspiration and is evidence of that our faith in the creative and renewing power of God is real. So as you live through this week, each day that God has given you, each moment, it is our prayer that He will enrich you and bless you. And it's also our prayer that He will give you the strength you need for the time that He has given. Now I'd like to invite our children to come, our boys and girls. Big ones, little ones. You don't, no set age on this. You can all come if you want. But perhaps you can listen back there just as easily. But I do like to have the boys and girls come down. Are there any more? Here comes one. Takes a while to get back there from the back 40 or wherever it is. So nice to see y'all. Can you come right up here, Kelly? Right there's a good spot for you. Great. That's nice. How many of you have cats at home? Do any of you have cats at home? Well, what's your cat's name?
Pindy.
What?
Pindy.
Pindy? Okay, what's yours?
Tiger.
Tiger? What's your cat's name?
Patches.
Patches? My goodness.
Muffin.
What all these interesting names we have for cats. How many of you know what the word imitate means? What does imitate mean? That means that when you see something that someone else does, that you do it. Or when someone sees you doing something, that they do it. I'm going to show you how that works this morning and how important that is for us as boys and girls who are followers of Christ. If you'll take, you want to hold my microphone a minute? I'm going to write the word cat here, and we'll see how that works. Okay. There it is. Cat. K-A-T.
C-A-T.
What's the matter?
C-A-T.
C-A-T? Oh, okay. Well, I made a mistake, didn't I? Set a bad example, didn't I? And looky there. It was copied. Now, if you set a bad example, somebody may just copy you. So, instead of being angry sometime, instead of getting angry sometime and saying things that you regret about other people, we shouldn't do that because somebody might copy you. Instead of using swear words, we have to watch that because somebody might imitate you and copy you. And you can see how important this is, can't you? Just as I wrote cat here, K-A-T, it got copied, and somebody could go wrong because of the way you behave, because they're looking at you, ready to imitate you. Thank you for coming this morning. Almighty God, who was before time began, and who will be when time is no more, you are the Lord of this hour, for you have given it to, we have given it to you, and have been looking for your forgiveness and your guidance. Help us to make you Lord of all the hours of our lives. Will you hear our words of thanksgiving and sense the gratitude which we have in our hearts to you? Since we're not known for our humility, it is sometimes a little hard to acknowledge our debts to you. Still, though, our very lives depend on the constancy of your love as shown in nature, in the use of energy, the intricacies of law and power. Not only that, but the consciousness and awareness which gives life its meaning is a gift from you, breathed into us by divine power. And we may as well admit it. Without you, we could not exist, let alone function. But of course, we shall not admit that, for it is really contrary to our prideful nature. In spite of our arrogance, accept what praise and thanksgiving we can offer, and if it be possible, accept our deeper commitments as we endeavor to find ways of repaying you for your blessings. Lord, during these days, we need your steadying influence. Send us the Spirit of our Lord that even amidst instability we may be confident of the present and sure of the future. Our concerns are many. We want a world of brotherhood and peace. We pray for it and ask that you lead us into commitment and action that will give us a small part in preparing for it. We want a world in which the hungry are fed, the oppressed are released, the downtrodden are lifted up. As your disciples, we ought to have a part in that, but we're afraid. Take away our fear. We want a world in which the ill are made well, the undecided are guided, the sorrowful are comforted, and the sinful are forgiven. As your witnesses, we have the message of good news that heals and reconciles. Help us to use it, to spread it, to tell it, but most of all, to live it. Now that we confess to be your people in this hour, let us be your people at all times. We really don't know how best to express our discipleship come 10:30 today, but will you do two things for us? Give us a desire to be the church in our daily lives, and will you guide us as we seek to do so? Receive now any commitments we make in this hour, so that the days ahead will be enriched for ourselves, for others, and for you. And now, our Father, pay attention to our personal concerns for ourselves and for others. Answer the prayers and yearnings which we each present to you in these quiet moments. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning I want to think especially about those last words and these three incidents of healing in this 8th chapter of Matthew. It is written, "He took our infirmities and bore our diseases." Now, these words are used by Matthew to summarize a series of healing miracles which were performed by our Lord. And the words are quoted from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And Matthew uses these healing miracles as evidence that the prophecy of Isaiah had been fulfilled in Jesus. And he here affirms the messiahship of Jesus, for he says that Jesus is doing what the prophet said that the Messiah would do. He is healing the sick. In this chapter of Matthew, as I noted, we have these three healing incidents: the healing of the leper, the centurion's servant, and Peter's mother-in-law. And I'd like to take a brief look at these incidents, but I'd like also to peer behind that which normally claims our attention about them, behind the healing of the disease to the healing of the wounded spirit. There's first of all the leper. He is a person, though he probably feels more like a feared animal. Now use your imagination. His body is a mass of festering sores and distorted shapes. Society has cast him aside and has demanded that he shout, "Unclean, unclean," as he walks down the street or the sidewalk, so that other people will have a chance to make way and not be touched and contaminated by him. But any leper would probably tell you that the sickness of his body was quite incidental to the loneliness of the spirit and the unworthiness of his own self-esteem. Think of just a little part of this poor wretch's experiences. Think how traumatic it was for him to have his wife and his children bring him his daily food from their meager supply and see them back away quickly lest they become infected. How this man must have waited for the time each day when his loved ones would come and he could see them. You can imagine that he desired and wished that he could run his hands through his little daughter's thick, coal black hair. And how he would like very much to have taken his young son and swung him up in the air and played with him. And how he must have yearned to embrace his wife. But no, it was more like a living death, for his children, when they saw him, would wince and turn quickly away because their father was a leper. And then his family would depart quickly. And once again, he'd be alone. That's part of the experience. That's part of the reason for the bruised and wounded spirit which this leper had. But then, one day Jesus came, and the poor man began to have a glimmer of hope. And he came to Jesus and knelt down before him and said, "Lord, if you want to, you can heal me." Jesus looked at him and said, "I want to. Be healed." Jesus spoke a word to cure the disease. Be healed. But to the bruised and the hurt and the loneliness of his soul, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. How often have I wished that I could say to people who are ill and abed and whatever, "Be healed," and it would be so. But God has not chosen to work through me and through, I think, all of us in that particular fashion. But I do have, and so do you, the power of the compassionate touch and the compassionate word to heal the sickness of loneliness, the burden of a shattered ego, and the hurt in a person's spirit and soul. You can temper, you can heal the sickness of others, of another person's spirit, by your touch, by your visit, by your help, your listening, your companionship, your sympathy, and even your joy. Let us call that healing of other people's hurts, healing by loving identification. That is, at least in part, what Christ has done for us. We don't have leprosy of the body, but sin is our leprosy. Healing is God's forgiveness. See then how graciously God in Christ has dealt with us. Our privilege is to be channels of His grace to others, having been healed of our sin by His loving touch. Let us go to touch the lepers, the lonely, the alienated, the hurt, the bruised, and tell them of our love and of Christ's love. We can do that through loving identification with others. That's the way Jesus did it with a leper. The next one to come to Jesus was a centurion. He was a man of integrity, responsibility, and compassion. He came to Jesus not for himself, but for his servant who was in bed, racked with pain. Jesus indicated a willingness to come to the boy, but the centurion was amazed, and he surprisingly revealed a great faith. And he said something like this, "Sir, I'm a Gentile. I know what it means for a Jew to come to a Gentile's home. Indeed, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. In fact, it is not even necessary for you to leave this place. If you will just say the word, I know that he will get well." And then Jesus was amazed. Here he found a kind of faith which he could joyfully respond to. And he said even among Israel's great religious leaders and people, he had not found such a great faith. And I can imagine that Jesus had a smile on his face when he said, "Go on home, and your servant will be healed. What you believed could happen has happened." At that moment, the boy was healed. Now, we might call this healing through faithful intercession. What it means is simply this. Through your faithful intercession on the part of others, God is able to bring about the miracle of healing of the broken in body and the broken in spirit. Indeed, how we ought to rejoice and how it blesses us that this church, you, is more and more an interceding and caring church. We have a prayer chain which is active much of the time. Our several groups are praying groups. Scores of individuals are praying intercessors. And we have scores of people who care and seek to intercede personally and in a very real and personal way with those who hurt and those who are in pain. That's what Christ does. Hebrews tells us that Christ is making constant intercessions to God on our behalf. Now, don't you see? Don't you see that the faith of the centurion was the means by which the servant was healed? And don't you see that your faith, your care, is the means by which your neighbor, your friend, can be healed? That's healing by faithful and caring intercession. The third example of Jesus' healing of persons happened in the home of one of his most enthusiastic followers, the Apostle Peter. His wife's mother was sick, and it may have been a psychosomatic illness, which was caused by worry and fear and anxiety. Her daughter was married to one of the most successful and best fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. But one day, Peter, when Jesus passed by and said, "Follow me," left his business and went off following an itinerant preacher and teacher. And of course, from that day on, the family income decreased, and perhaps tensions increased. Now, to Peter's mother-in-law, her son-in-law seemed irresponsible. She was concerned when Peter did not work, did not come home at night, and she began to worry herself until she became sick. Peter told Jesus about the problem, and he said, "Lord, I'm so glad that I'm following you, but I must be honest with you. Things are not working out too well around the house. My mother-in-law is very uptight. In fact, she's sick because I left the business and am following you." And Jesus understood Peter's need immediately, and he said, "I'll come and heal her." And Jesus went with Peter, and sympathetically and lovingly, he put his hand in hers, and immediately she was healed. And then she understood why Peter followed Jesus, and she got out of bed, put together a good meal, and they had good fellowship together. We can call this healing by grateful interaction. Jesus had understood that for Peter, there was a need for healing among those close to him. We are not living wholly to the glory of God if we neglect those close to us. Jesus plainly indicated that believing in him could result in stress with unbelieving friends and relatives. But taking the total impact of God's revealed will, it is clear that a Christian has a responsibility to be an agent of healing to those close to him. We have this example of Peter bringing Jesus to the bedside of his mother-in-law. When she met the one who had claimed Jesus' loyalty, she was saved to serve. Her desire was to use her restored health in service of Christ and to become a blessing for others. Now, lest anyone think that I want to be hypocritical at this point, let me say that I am painfully aware of the glaring failure in my own life to have done this adequately in all of my relationships to those close to me. But let us be reminded that truth is never invalidated by the frailties and the limitations and the inability of human strength to carry it through. Failure, whether it be mine or yours, is why we have need of a Savior. If we do not fail, then we have no need of someone to redeem us, of a Savior. And in the grace and love of God, he has provided just such a person, just such a Savior, in one Jesus of Nazareth, whom we call the Christ. Because he came to do for us what we in our sin, in our frailty, in our weaknesses, we cannot do for ourselves. And how my heart bleeds for the countless numbers of people that I know who have the strange, eerie feeling that they somehow, by being good, can earn their way into heaven or into the hereafter or into complete and full relationship to God in Christ. That's the gospel. That's the meaning of the good news. That's the meaning of grace. God doing for us in Jesus Christ what we in our human frailties, in our weaknesses, and in our hurt, and in our inabilities cannot do for ourselves. That Peter did and that Jesus did for Peter's mother-in-law is healing by grateful interaction and concern. The healing of persons. We open the channels of God's healing power when we identify with those who are hurt. When we're faithful in our intercession on behalf of those who stand in need, and when we interact with those who are crushed and ill. The healing of persons. Three I's. Identify with them, intercede for them, and interact with them. So where are you? Where are we as children of God? Well, we have been forgiven by Christ, so we're sent out into a world in the ministry of forgiveness. Having been reconciled, we are sent out to reconcile. Having received the grace of God in our lives, we are sent to be channels of grace to others. Having known Jesus Christ as Lord, we are sent to build bridges that others may cross over from their lostness to relationship with God. Is your life a dead-end street? Or is your life a dead sea? Have you let what Christ has done for you end with you? Or is your life a channel and a bridge through which persons can be healed through God's grace flowing to them through you? Think about that. And in your prayers, ask God to help you become just such a bridge where His love and His grace can flow to those who are crushed. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we have heard your word read, and as we have sought to look at your amazing power as it is shown in the incidents of that word, we pray that we might not lose sight of the calling which this chapter of Matthew calls us to be healers. No, not for us to be healers, but for us to be instruments and channels through which your grace, your love, can offer healing to those in need. Help us, our Father, to examine our own souls and our own spirits, find there those areas where we need to be healed. And through Christ, may such healing be ours. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.